Thanks for listening to the Guadalupe Radio Network podcasts. We've had a lot of requests to make our local shows available online, and we're happy to do so here on our website. This service, like everything else we do, is made possible only through the prayerful and financial support of people like you. So please, pray for us, and also please support us financially by clicking on the Donate Now link on the top left of our website. And thanks for your support of the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Food for the immortal soul. All day and all night. The following is a presentation of the Alexander House Apostolate and the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Made for each other, this woman, this man.
Made for each other with Greg and Julie Alexander. The Alexanders, committed to strengthening marriages in your parish with the Covenant of Love program, now in over 100 parishes nationwide. Keep listening this hour for details on how you can start this ministry at your church and make a difference. You've seen the Alexanders on EWTN. They travel coast to coast speaking the truth about marriage. Greg and Julie are also authors of the book, Marriage 911, How God Saved Our Marriage and Can Save Yours Too. To get in on today's conversation, call 877-211-3853. That's 877-211-3853. Now, here's Greg and Julie Alexander.
And good morning, and welcome to another show of Made for Each Other. I'm your host, Greg Alexander.
And I'm your co-host, Julie Alexander.
And we want to thank you for joining us here this morning. Why are you laughing?
Because it's a good day. That's why. Great. It's beautiful. Awesome.
But anyway, I want to thank you for joining us here this morning. We're going to have an awesome show today. We have guests with us that have literally been on the road who are now in studio. We're going to talk more about that. But Joe and Lori Trechter from Colorado. And talking about a trek that they've been taking here for a little over a year now, I guess.
Yeah, we would have thought they were crazy, but we're doing the same thing. So it's nice to know some other crazy people just like us, but they're doing some amazing things, and it's so inspiring. But I can't wait for the listening audience to see what they have to tell them about what they've been doing for the last year. It's incredible.
Exactly. And by the time that you're listening to this show, Julie and I will be boarding a plane to Georgetown, Grand Cayman.
Yeah. I'm so sorry for those listening where it's cold, but we are going on a mission as well. It's not all fun. We're going to work. We're going to spread again God's plan for marriage because we're being asked to go to do a parish mission and a couple talks there in the Grand Cayman.
Are you going to let me say where?
No, you already did.
St. Ignatius Catholic Church. So we're going to be there in a few days. We actually get to take the kids with us on this trip, so they're going to be excited. But again, the opportunity to be there to minister to some people where we've been trying to coordinate this particular trip for the last 2 years now, so it's finally becoming a reality. So while you're still freezing in some parts of the nation, we will be thinking about you as we're lying on the beach.
Yeah, right. Praying while we're doing our mission.
But anyway, again, the couple that we have with you today, Joe and Laurie, Julie and I had the pleasure of meeting them about a year and a half ago. And of course, our dear friend Christopher West kind of connected us. And as we were in the midst of our great marriage challenge at the time, they were talking about getting on the road with their family and their kids as well. So I don't want to spoil too much of the surprise here. I want to let you hear from them as well. But as always, before we start, I'll start us with a prayer. And begin, name Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Father, we are truly grateful for this day, this time for us to be presenting on this show. And Father, we just thank you for the gift of family and the many ways in which you call us to be a reflection of your love right here on earth. And for all those families who are traveling, but especially the Trechter family, as they have the opportunity to grow in love, as they're so close together in their vehicle, but more importantly, learning how to love, laugh, forgive, and just share with each other that time that gives them an opportunity to grow again in your love. And we just ask your blessings for this show, that we may touch the hearts of someone who is listening today, that it will remind them too of the importance of spending that time together as family. And Father, in all this we give thanks and praise in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, I don't want to take too much away from this because I know it's going to be an exciting show. In fact, we're going to bring the kids in the second half of the show and kind of hear from them as well. But Joe and Lori, welcome to Texas.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, instead of me just talking about it, why don't you talk about this trip that you guys have embarked on, maybe a little bit why you thought of doing it, and a little bit about what's been going on.
Well, I think the idea started before our oldest was born back in 2000, so prior to that. And we kind of had a travel bug, I think, developing because we were stationed in Germany at the time. So we're in Europe, newly married, just a couple of years. And so we were traveling all over Europe, and that was the first time I had ever been out of the United States. So for me, it was all new and exciting. And I think that's when the idea first developed. Hey, why, when we get back home, why don't we see all 48 states? I had only been to a handful. Joe had made a trip of his own and had kind of seen some of it, but not all. So that's, I think, the first time that the idea arised. But it wasn't all like a fun idea, because then the part about how we were going to get around came into play.
So the way I remember it,
there's always two sides, right?
We were in Germany, and we were driving back home. We had a couple hour drive, and Lori was driving, and this is her small Chevy Cavalier, and I'm taking notes of things that we might want to do in our life, because we had just had a great weekend, and we were just kind of brainstorming together. I was like, well, you know, when Joseph's in eighth grade, I'll be able to retire from the Air Force. That would be a great time to travel around the country for a year. And I'm kind of excited about that. And Lori's like, not so much.
Well, I don't remember not being excited about it at first. But then when you said we had to go in these RVs for a whole year, I was like, really? This little tiny? I mean, I thought all RVs were these little tiny rinky-dink things. But then we started going around to some RV shows and actually seeing some of the RVs that were out there. And then, you know, when you get all these slide outs and everything on them and bunkhouses, I was like, well, maybe this won't be quite so bad.
Right. It's not roughing it like we were thinking, right?
Right. Not like
going
camping.
In the woods. Camping, no thanks.
And so really the idea just kind of grew from there. Whenever we would, you know, think about, you know, where's our next assignment or our next budget or whatever it was, we would always keep that in the planning process and just kind of keep that as an option and try to work towards it. So that's kind of how it started. It was really 14 years ago that we hatched the idea, and then it just kind of blossomed after that.
It's amazing what God does with our ideas, right?
Incredible, yes.
When we think we're crazy, he's like, good, I can use that. But is it an apostolate? Is it a business? What is it that you do on the road? I mean, tell us.
Well, we went through the last couple of years before we left, and when it was looking like, okay, we can really make this happen. I mean, it was within reach. We really included that in our prayers, like, God, how would you want us to use this time? What can we do with a trip like this? And we just made that a part of our prayers for, you know, a couple of years leading up to when we would go. And we were inspired to come up with a theme, and we kind of resonated with a lot of what Pope Francis was doing and how he reached out to everybody. And, you know, of course there's, you know, differences in terms of, you know, what's morally this or morally that, but we have to bridge gaps and we have to reach out to people and just be servants. And that's really how we adopted a theme for our trip called the Hands and Feet Tour. And our goal was really just to, as we traveled around, try and reach out to people, communities, and try to be of service in some shape or form while we were traveling. So we've contacted nursing homes. We've worked in pregnancy shelters, just cleaning the house. We've made sandwiches at a homeless shelter, just whatever we could think of when we got somewhere. And there's places that we haven't been able to link up to do anything formal, but I don't know. Sometimes being a witness is just getting out of our car with six kids.
That's what I was going to say.
Hey, what's that going on over there?
Yeah, I remember being in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and we're all on our bikes, like just driving or riding around the lake there in Coeur d'Alene, and all these people are like watching us, and they start counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and you can hear them doing this, and you're just, it's just like Joe said, getting out of the car in itself sometimes, or just being a presence within a city or anywhere, is like a witness in itself, I think, to people. Just don't see that every day.
Absolutely.
I guess you guys know with some of your travels as well.
Yeah, we can kind of relate to that a little bit. But again, and more importantly, it's just those memories. I mean, you're actually creating memories that will be with you and your kids for a lifetime. You know, there's some things we have experienced, and still we can hear sometimes at night our kids laying in the bedrooms, just laughing and joking about some of the trips that we've had and the things that they had experienced. So really building those long-term memories for the family as well.
Especially at those times when you're crying and sitting on the side of the road, when something doesn't go so well with an RV, they're really funny a year later, right? Those are all things that you go, one day we will laugh about this, and you do. But it's amazing, the bonding, you know, people, and I know that you probably get that a lot, where they say, are all those yours? And do they all go with you? It's like, are you kidding me? Yes, they are. And we tell people, we get a lot along better in the RV than we do in our house, because you are there in this small compartment, not tiny, but it is where you have to learn how to live with one another. And I think there's no greater lesson in this time and in these days that, you know, they have to share. They have to figure out how to make things work where they don't have their own space. And it's really good when people ask the question, even to our kids, what, do you ever get time on your own? And it's like, well, yeah, when I go up in my little bunk bed, that's all the time I need.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because Joe's sister-in-law had given each one of the kids a gallon Ziploc bag, kind of as a joke, because it started basically when we were traveling before this trip, that we would travel lightly when we'd fly in airplanes and we'd just have one suitcase maybe. And they're like, well, where do you put all your stuff? How do you pack for eight people in one little suitcase? But we all had these gallon Ziploc bags. But the joke is in the RV that that's the only space they have to put all their stuff. So they put their gallon Ziplocs under their pillows, and that's their space and their things. So
that's awesome. Funny. That's
now, what are some of the exciting places that you've been?
Well, a lot of the national parks, I think the top one of the family consensus has been Glacier National Park in Montana. Mm-hmm. And just because being from Colorado, we just love the scenery of mountains and snow and everything. So at Glacier, there's all these nicely carved valleys and everything from the glaciers. So we got to go on some really great hikes up, I think it was Logan Pass is the name of it, where there's a really good hike there. And the wildlife is incredible as well. So we saw these marmots sunning themselves on the rocks, and Joseph's getting pictures, and it's almost like the marmots were posing for you on the rocks. And then the mountain goats there, we saw a family, the mother and some baby mountain goats, and they were literally from me to you, so about like
incredible.
6 feet apart from where we were. So just seeing the wildlife, the beauty of the mountains and the wildflowers that were growing at that time. It was just beautiful.
That's awesome. Again, so it wasn't just a family vacation. Again, I go back to the importance of you going. You guys really thought about this. You prayed about it. So it was actually a mission that you were on. You even had a mission statement for your trip, right?
Yeah, in a lot of respects, it has been a mission in terms of having a purpose while we're traveling. I mean, it would be great to just go and say, well, how many national parks and amusement parks could we go to in a year? But that becomes kind of becomes a selfish motif or a selfish motivation. And adopting our mission statement to really go out and be hands and feet and find a way to serve the world that God so loved, and, you know, to really just witness to what is joyful about being a family, because it's really been the most dramatic thing that we've done as a couple is having a family and making this time together as a family.
Now, you talked about, you know, your opportunity to serve. I guess in light of thinking of your favorite story there, what would be something that's most memorable?
I think the time that we had in San Antonio, we're in San Antonio.
Yeah, good job. That was a good answer.
Yeah, the day that I was sitting in front of Greg and Julie.
It just doesn't get any better. I get to look up
this
to
is a mission.
So,
yeah, there you go.
When we were in Salt Lake City, we had gone to Mass at the cathedral there, and it turns out that they have an outreach program where they make sandwich sack lunches for the homeless and for people that need lunches. And so we had volunteered, and so we got to go spend half a day. And at first we were making 300 sandwiches. So we had a huge assembly line going. It was just our family. So we made all the sandwiches, and we had this, you know, giant pile of sandwiches, and then we had to put them all into the sandwich bags, you know, with the, you know, granola bar and a piece of fruit or whatever we were putting together. And then we had the opportunity to help actually give them out to the people. They have a special door that they come to, and they kind of put in their order. And, you know, the kids would, you know, they all developed their own roles. They just kind of sorted it out. Michael was on the bag line, so he would get the bags out of the cooler and give it to them. And William and Carlos were on drinks, and Mariana was all in the middle getting the oranges, and Joseph was helping to give Mariana the oranges to give to the people. And just an amazing experience. And the kids were like, Dad, when do we get to do this again?
Yeah, and they just didn't want to leave. You would think, you know, being there working, that they would want to be done and get home or go sightsee at a national park or something. But that was like one of their most memorable things, was being at that soup kitchen, if you will call it such, and just handing out the sandwiches. They just loved it, and they didn't want to go home.
The question I have is, or the comment I have is, God knew you were going to be there, because you said you were the only ones there doing this for a while.
Absolutely.
So isn't that amazing? Again, I think it's when you go forth in faith, not really knowing, in a sense, yes, having a sort of plan. I mean, because you can only plan as much as God lets you do it, what he wants you to do. But I think it's amazing that when you go do his work, I think those blessings come in the form of then allowing you to go to the national parks to see his beauty, to see his creation. Because it's always in that time of you saying, when we come close together, when we're working outside of for our own benefit, when it's not all about us and what we can do to go get out of life what we can, but it's to see how much can we put in, how much can we serve where God is calling us to serve. And then those little moments that he brings about are just like the payment that God gives for the joy you receive to see your kids or each other really coming to understand God's plan a lot more than you ever would have without going.
And I think looking back over, you know, where we are today, I mean, we've been married 18 years and this idea came up, you know, 14, 15 years ago. And I was like, well, how did we get this lucky? How are we getting this blessed to be able to make a trip like this? And I really believe that it started with just leaving a crack open for God, that we made it an important part of our marriage to pray together or, ask God's guidance, you know, how much should we give to the church? How many kids should we have? All of these questions, we just left an opening for God. I wouldn't say either of us are, you know, saintly prayer warriors per se, but we always just made some effort to include God. He doesn't need much room, and his influence just grows and has you, he leads you where he wants you to go. When you just leave a little crack, that's all we need to do. And I think that looking back over the years, that's really, I think what brought us to this point is just leaving that crack open.
That's beautiful. And I think it really goes to the fact, again, that God works in the simplicity. And it doesn't have to be this grandiose thing or all those hours in prayer and all those different things, but how we live our lives and allowing him to be a part. And I think that's what's so awesome about you guys and your travels. Not only are you going to see the sights and things of the world, so to speak, but you're including that faith element. And man, that's the best classroom to be in to learn to love and to be that gift of self, as Julie has talked about. Now, I know, again, of course, traveling in close quarters like that, it can pose some challenges. Has there been any challenge for your marriage while you're on this trip?
I love that. Look at you. You go first.
Okay, should I say how many, Heather?
Well, no, actually, it's been rather good, I think, just being together a lot. I feel like even though we're in close quarters, we are more intimate emotionally and everything because we're around each other so much, which we don't normally get to have back at home. So it's kind of nice being together all the time. And, you know, Joe's a great husband and a great father, and he shares responsibilities for, you know, rearing the kids and taking care of the responsibilities that go along with having a family. But on the road, I mean, he's there all the time to help out, you know, in every moment. And even with homeschooling, he's been able to step in and help out with math, which I wouldn't have been able to do pre-calculus with Joseph without much pain and suffering. I'd have to relearn it. But I mean, I think on the downside, we do learn a little bit more about, well, this thing really bugs me that he does all the time, or he doesn't like how I'm always putting stuff down right away. I like to be in my little comfort zone. So whenever he poses a new idea, it's like, do we really have to go do that?
I like to call those opportunities for growth.
Right. So we've had a lot of opportunities for growth for sure during this trip.
Well, and with the opportunities, I mean, when you're at home and you've got opposite sides of the house, you can kind of go and hang out. Mm-hmm. You can kind of get your space, but you know, our space in 350 square feet of our trailer is pretty much right next to each other. So, yeah. I mean, you pretty much have to just face up whatever it is and deal with it right then. Right. You can't really let anything fester. You get those opportunities and you get the opportunity to address it right away because you can't really go anywhere.
You can let it fester, but it wouldn't be a good idea.
Right.
Because then those close quarters get really close. But it's amazing because, again, I think that is really what's needed in our culture today. And it's what you guys are living, not only in doing this trip, but for your children. It's really about relationship training. I mean, we don't get that very often. And I think you shared a few things with us, and we definitely will bring the kids in a bit here. But you had said that, you know, your son, your 14-year-old, was just hoping that, you know, there would be sometimes that he could just hurry, go back home because there was something he was missing. And yet our kids have always said that, well, oh, do we have to go again? And do we have to do this? But hindsight, when we go back and talk about it, it's so amazing how there is no way they would ever want to miss that time that they had with the family and doing what we did. And I always think it's in probably in your same case, is there's probably those people that he wanted to go back and visit are saying, I wish we could go do what that family's doing.
Right.
So you want what you don't have, right? Mm-hmm. It always looks attractive on the other side, but what an amazing opportunity for your children, for you guys to teach them about relationship. It's beautiful.
And I think we've seen that, you know, in watching Joseph, that, you know, he was starting high school, you know, before our trip. And we homeschooled up through eighth grade anyways, but he had kind of flown the coop a little bit to go to ninth grade. But to have him back in the fold, back in the orbit with everybody else, so that he's got opportunities to carry Mariana, our four-year-old, on his shoulders, you know, around to see these sites. You know, she's tired. We're hiking again. And she needs a lift, and he's there to be able to do that. And and to have Joseph, you know, go back and, you know, hey, Mariana, I didn't get my hug today.
Oh.
You know, and to have those moments, those are bonds that just can't be broken over time. That, I mean, once they're there, they're there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times people look at the travels and they say, how do you do that on the road? But the real big question is, how do you deal with life when you get back? Because you get so used to being in close quarters and enjoying each other's company that when you get back, it's almost weird to have all that space and to begin to see people kind of gravitate back to their own little corner, so mm-hmm. to speak. And that's always the hard part. And I think it's part of what fuels our kids to get ready for that next trip, because they know that, hey, I got mom and dad virtually 24 hours a day to be able to spend that time with them. And that's really some special time. In fact, I think every family needs to take some extended trips together to have that experience.
What part of the trip would you say, or what happened on the trip that maybe didn't go as you planned?
Well, I think one of the big things, because you said about having a plan and how God might have another plan, but we had this, or Joe did most of the planning, so I would have to give him the credit, but we had the trip basically planned out. And then as we were going, we kind of found that our pace was kind of going too quickly. Like, we were moving too fast. We were just tired out, worn out. And so we had to make some adjustments there. But then we got to South Dakota. We were almost to Minnesota, where we needed to be in July for our son Joseph's scout camp, when we got a call that our 2-year-old niece had had an accident, and she's being flighted for life to the San Diego hospital. Mm. It turned out she ended up dying. Mm. And so packed up bags and went to San Diego. And Joe drove pretty much straight there. We stopped just to take a break to rest, to get there safely. But that kind of diversion, we didn't really expect. So that was one thing that happened on the trip. But then there were many blessings, even though that was a tragedy and something we would have never wished for. But yet that turned around to be a blessing in disguise, in that Joe was retired. We got to go straight there, help the family, be with the family, and then go to Oregon, where the family was actually from. They were visiting his parents in San Diego. So we got to spend a couple weeks with them there. And even when we were in San Diego, it was kind of neat for me, because here I'm a mom of six, and I was able to jump in and take care of my baby nephews and my baby niece. And I knew what to do. I could put them to bed, get them to sleep, so that the other moms could do their thing and take care of all the arrangements and things that needed to be done. So it was nice to be able to bond with my niece and nephew that I may not have met, and then my other one that I could just step in and take over, because her mom just, you know, lost a child and had other responsibilities.
And what was her name?
Renee.
Mm-hmm.
Renee's my sister, and her daughter, Juliana.
Yes.
Okay, Juliana. Whoa.
Juliana Michelle. And she was 2 years old, and it was a tragic accident, mm-hmm. and obviously shook the family. But to be able to have that flexibility, to be able to, you know, drive from Southern California, where everything happened, back home with my sister and her family, and just to be there. And literally, we were hands and feet for the family while we were there for 3 weeks. And and I wouldn't trade that. I mean, when I think back of our trip, you know, of all the wonderful memories, not just with the eight of us, but really the extended family, and having that time with Renee and Gabe and their kids through a very tough time, that that we were able to experience and walk that path together, that it wasn't, You know, no one was out there alone and afraid or anything like that. So it was just a blessed time, despite the very unfortunate circumstance that you really wouldn't encounter or wish for anybody.
Was it? It's amazing. Again, it's a tragedy, as you share, and the sad loss of a beautiful child. You just really see that we don't take time in our lives to do the important things. I mean, really, maybe if you are not on that trip, as some of us are not, we wonder if we can even go and be with family when somebody's passed away or an accident has happened. And it needs to be more of that. We need to really be in tune with that's when we grow the most, when we can forget about everything else and be there for another.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, as equally taking that time with our own family, you know, mm-hmm. because we get so busy with work and the child activities and all those different things, but really to take that time to enjoy each other. Because as you know, those years fly by and all of a sudden you look up and they're in high school and get ready to graduate and you're like, where did the time go? But again, the time that you're taking and again, being there with your family. We'll keep Renee and the rest of that family in prayer as well. And of course, praying for the repose of the soul of little Julianne also. Well, if you just joined us, we are in studio here with Joe and Laurie Trechter. Did I say it right? Trechter? Trechter.
Trechter.
Trechter. I knew I was going to mess it up, but as we're talking about their trek across the United States, visiting all 48 states with their children, we're going to have the children in here a little bit later just to kind of hear from them what they have experienced. But we're going to take a break. We'll be right back and hang in with us.
You're listening to Greg and Julie Alexander and Made for Each Other. Show will continue right after this.
Looking for a way to build up marriages in your parish? Covenant of Love, an outreach of the Alexander House, is an umbrella to house existing marriage ministries as well as grow new marriage ministries based upon the needs of your parish. The goal of Covenant of Love is to assist your parish in its ability to minister to the various ages and stages of the marriage life cycle. Parishes that put their focus on marriage ministry experience incredible growth because couples on fire with their own marriage have a desire to share their time, talent, and treasure in incredibly generous ways. Are you ready to help lower the divorce rate in your parish? Are you ready to help build incredible marriages that will impact your parish and the wider community? If so, contact the Alexander House at 210-858-6195 or visit us on the web at thealexanderhouse.org for more information on Covenant of Love. May God bless you abundantly for helping to build marriages in your parish.
I know of a woman who, after the fourth child, had a tubal ligation. She later read in a magazine a story by a Christian writer that asked, "Why is it we are so willing to accept the blessings of health, wealth, and status from God, but when He wants to give us another child, which the Bible says is the greatest blessing, we turn Him down? Oh, no thank you, God. We have plenty of those."
The Vatican II document, Gaudium et Spes, says, "Children are really the supreme gift of marriage and contribute very substantially to the welfare of their parents. God gives children to parents so the parents have the opportunity to grow into the people He made them to be. Think of the children you have now. Which one would you get rid of? Children are the ultimate eternal blessing of marriage. Oh, and that lady? She had a reversal and was blessed with four more children, and there's not one she wishes God hadn't given." This has been a minute for your marriage and family with Balanced Families Ministries. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter.
We're asking folks about marriage.
Marriage makes me think of sports. You know, teamwork, dedication.
Okay, let's see what people say.
Let's say your marriage is a sport. What sport would it be?
Oh, what sport?
Basketball.
Surfing. Because we've been riding away for so long.
It have to be a team sport.
Ice hockey.
Baseball. It lasts a long time and not a lot happens.
Ping pong.
So why ping pong?
Always on our toes, but relaxed and fun.
Maybe doubles tennis.
So there's a lot of back and forth.
A lot of people watching.
So how many people are influenced by your marriage?
Hundreds?
Yeah.
I think we could easily fill a football stadium with all the people that we've influenced. And you really think about the ripple effect.
One influences the next and the next and the next. It's like a wave.
So it looks like a good marriage touches a lot of people.
Exactly. A good marriage goes a long way.
Want to improve your marriage? For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
I want to say something right now to those grown-ups out there who are thinking of getting a divorce. Think about it. There's three children in my class whose parents got divorced. I see they're sad, and I wish it didn't happen. I know at least one of them thinks it's his fault. You don't know what it does to us. Sometimes it's not safe at all, so you gotta get out of there. That's not what I'm talking about now. Sometimes a grown-up thinks they're following a dream by leaving the family. And so that's your dream? You leave everybody else with a nightmare? That sounds pretty dumb to me. I'd like to say stupid, but I'm not allowed to say that word. So if you're thinking about it, think again. Please.
Back with more of Made for Each Other, a presentation of the Alexander House. Now here's Greg and Julie Alexander.
And we are back again in studio here with Joe and Laurie Trechter from Colorado as they are traveling around the nation with their Hands and Feet tour. And we've been talking about the KISS, Joe, and I want to take a second here and introduce the KISS to our listening audience. So I'll let you do the honors of introducing.
Thank you very much. This is certainly a blessing for all of us. We'll go first. We'll start with the most important, going from the bottom up in terms of age, is Mariana. Mariana, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and say how old you are.
Hi, my name is Mariana.
How old are you?
4.
All right.
And we have Michael with us. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi, my name is Michael. I am 6 years old.
I'm Michael. Love
and
that name, Michael.
We have William with us.
Hi, I'm William, and I am 9 years old.
Welcome, William.
And Carlos will be next.
Hi, I'm Carlos, and I'm 9 years old.
All right, Carlos.
And Morgan and Joseph will close things out.
Hey, I'm Morgan, and I'm 12 years old.
And I'm little Joe, and I'm 14.
Well, you don't look so little, Joe. You're almost as tall as your dad, Joe. But one of the things that we were talking about with your mom and dad before you guys came into the studio, you are so cute, all of you. Good looking family. Joe, I'm going to ask you, since you're the oldest, what was your favorite part of going on this tour, literally around the nation with your family?
Well, one of the fun things that we get to do is, because Dad's military retired, we have access to a lot of military bases. And not only do the commissaries have cheap food where we can get junk food that Mom doesn't tolerate at the trailer under normal occasions, but we can also get onto Air Force bases and go down. We went to Nellis Air Force Base while we were near Las Vegas, and we got to go down to their flight line there and just spend the entire day watching the jets and exploring things. And the demonstration team for the Air Force, the Thunderbirds, is based down there.
Wow.
And so we got to take a tour of their facility and be down on the flight line and watch them take off. And we had a lot of fun doing that. And we got to get rid of school for the day, which was even better.
How cool. And you don't get to do that every day, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Morgan, I'm going to go to you next. You're 12?
Yes.
Yes. So what a bummer. You had to travel around the nation with your family? How do you do that?
Well, it's not exactly a bummer.
I know.
It might be some of the kids are snore at night.
Really?
That's the only bummer, I would say. But it's fun, and it's definitely a great experience to see all the wonderful sights.
So do you think you drew closer in relationship with your whole family by going on this trip?
Yeah, probably, because you're with them all the time, and you get to spend time with them that you don't usually do when you're at home, I guess, sometimes. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Good. Awesome. Well, good.
And I'd like
to
just say how fun it is for me as the dad. Morgan's seat in our truck is right next to me while I'm driving, and she's turned out to be a very, very good navigator. She can find the Gas Guru app on my phone and find out where the cheap gas is. She can program the GPS, and she can use Google Maps to figure out where we're going.
She'd be along good with Catherine. When we're lost, we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah,
Really?
Good deal. Well, this question is for anybody. What has been the most exciting thing you've done on your travels so far? Not everybody wants now.
One of the favorite things that me, William, Michael, and Carlos, we got to go with my grandparents, my dad's parents, to Legoland
for a trip, and we had a fun time.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I'm going to have to make sure my kids are asleep when the show airs, because they've been wanting to go to Legoland, and I'll be in trouble. They found out you went, and they didn't. That's pretty cool.
One of the things, again, and I'll go back to you, Joe, how beautiful is this? I mean, really, to have your kids here, they just speak so well. Even on the radio, they go up to the microphone like it's no big deal. But just to share the joy that they have. I mean, they have such amazing smiles on their faces. And you don't see that a lot with kids today, because they're all so, you know, busy doing all the stuff they have to do. Yes, I know you guys have to do homework. Don't get me wrong.
Bummer.
And yeah, see, there is a bummer in here somewhere. But how does it make you feel as a father to know that this is...
I think this is probably, you know, the most fulfilling thing that I can do as a father is to have this time with my children. And it really is music. When, you know, just, you know, this last campground we pulled in, I started barbecuing the brats for dinner, and all six kids went over to the playground, and I can hear them, I can see them a little bit, but I can just hear all six of them engaged and having just a great time together, whether it was throwing the football or fighting over the ATV or whatever it was. They were having a very good time with each other, mm-hmm. and just watching them grow and develop that rapport with each other, that, you know, they're going to have that for the rest of their lives.
That's awesome.
Can I add something to go with that?
Absolutely.
No, it just reminded me of a story, because we were in Las Vegas at the time, and we were going to find a playground where we could play and throw the football. So we got to this one playground, and we really didn't want to be there because it was felt kind of shady, and just the people that were there. I was like, are we going to get killed or shot or something? I don't know. But Joe came out after he got done doing some math or something with Carlos, and they all came out and they got a football game going. And there were these other kids that were there at the park just joined in the game. And it was just so cool to see how these other kids joined in and played with our kids, who are already used to being able to go out and play with dad, and just that Joe was able to kind of fill in a spot for these other kids that were there by themselves at the playground. I just thought that was amazing.
Isn't that amazing? It's sometimes amazing what fear will do to keep us from getting to know other people. You know, a lot of time, and in all kinds of things, the prejudices of really what we feel or what we think or what we, the unknown. And again, just to venture out, again, your children aren't the only ones that were touched on that trip, because those kids that were there playing with all of your kids and your husband in the football game will never forget that moment either, that this family stopped and invited us to come in and join with the game. It's awesome.
Yeah. You know, if my kids were here and you were to ask them what is the most important thing that they like about the travels, and it is just that, meeting the other kids and all the different places we visit. And I know there's been some times where, especially our son Michael, has bonded with some kids and literally in tears when we're having to leave, because they just enjoy so much these other kids that they're seeing, who otherwise they never would have interacted with. So that's exciting. But I also want to take a chance. I'm going to literally take a chance and ask the question, what is the thing you've liked least about the trip? Anybody?
Michael?
Oh, here he comes.
Doing hikes.
Oh, that's hard stuff, isn't it? To go on hikes is good for one or two, but again?
Well, I heard about some part of the trip where you guys were and you had an opportunity to see some bears eating salmon out of the stream. Tell me about that, Carlos.
Well, we went to Lake Tahoe, Taylor Creek. There was a little hike, and there was this big crowd, and I went up, and I looked, and I saw there was a black bear, and then I went back and told everybody else, and they're just like, whoa, come on, let's go. So we all went over, and so we saw him catch a salmon, and then he was getting a little close, so we were kind of freaking out.
Kind of. <yeah.
laughs> So it was really cool to see that black bear.
That's cool. Awesome. To see it in person and not just on a TV show or a movie or something. Again, experiences that you guys will probably in your lifetime never, ever forget. What's one of the greatest lessons that you learned from going on this trip?
I think just getting along with each other has been a bit of a learning experience, because, I mean, before I went to high school freshman year, we were together almost all the time at home just through homeschooling. But, I mean, we still had separate rooms in a, how big was our house? 3,000-4,000 square feet to spread out in, plus the yard and the street and friends next door. So we had room to get away from each other when we were getting bugged, and then you cramp all that down into 30 square feet of a trailer and 20 square feet of a truck, including the bed. It really forces you to learn to get along or not to get along, and not getting along isn't quite as fun as getting along. So just learning to sympathize and empathize with each other and be able to interact peacefully and without breaking into a meltdown of epic proportions.
Is that you or somebody else in the family?
Somebody else.
Just kidding. Okay. No names. No names. That's no good. Names. We're good. One of the things I know that you all did as well is on this tour, you really assisted even us here, that stayed back here in San Antonio, as you worked with Steve pretty closely to spread the news about Covenant of Love Ministries. And we're grateful for that. Did you have open hearts to receive the message?
Well, we sure did. And obviously, we gained a lot of inspiration from the lunch that we shared at our house together with your family a year and a half ago. And we helped start a Covenant of Love date night program at our parish at St. Gabriel's shortly after your visit. And, you know, I reached out to Steve and just kind of offers like, hey, we're gonna visit a few parishes while we're traveling. We'd be happy to help spread the word about the Covenant of Love, just because it's had such a positive effect at our parish. And, you know, we got it going with several other couples, and it's still going while we're gone. And that's been a huge blessing. We still get the email trails of the dinners that they're having and the get-togethers. And we look forward to being back with the group, but certainly being able to help other parishes, you know, learn about, hey, there really is a parish-based program that will help enrich and help remind people about what their marriage really does represent.
Well, thank you, because, you know, when you say we'll help out, you know, that we say, okay, be careful, because now we have you forever. We know where you live, kind of. We'll chase you in the RV.
I was just thinking about that as you're going out, and I was thinking, you make us look good, but looking at your family, you really make us look good with this beautiful. Thank you for being out and being, in a sense, our voice, our hands and our feet, as you're spreading that good program across the nation in your travels as well. Let's talk about the faith element a little bit for you guys. What Morgan rolls her eyes. In terms of some of the places you visit, the churches, or maybe even prayer time together as family, what has been your most favorite part or fun time there?
Well, I'll bring up a place then. We were in Redding, California, and we had gone to Mass at one of the mission churches, St. Michael, right before the Feast of the Archangels. And we met Father George Snyder after Mass. He had said Mass, and he told us about their parent church, I guess you would say, St. Joseph's in Redding. And so he invited us to go there for Monday, but we were together with Joe's sister at the time, so the timing didn't work out to go to daily Mass at that church. But there was just something that kept telling me, hey, we need to go check out that church. And we did. And so Father, one of the other priests came to the door and then got Father George for us. So he brought us in, and it turns out at that church in Redding, they have over 500 relics that they have in their safe there.
Wow.
So he brought out some, and he and the seminarian Ed, too, who he said we would continue praying for, was there. So they both brought out these relics. So our family got to receive a special blessing with the relic of St. John Paul II, and was it John the 23rd was in that relic together. And we also got to see the relics of St. Faustina and the Holy Cross and Padre Pio. So that was just an amazing experience to have that brought upon us and to have received those special blessings.
I always see those as moments as when you were saying all those saints, and I'm like, yeah, they were with you. Yeah, he was with you. Yeah, she was there with you. It's like you just really start to see the family of saints, and in our faith, what a blessing it is to know that we have so many that are up watching over us and what we're doing, and really praying for the mission to go smoothly, protecting and guarding and guiding really God's instruments to help you get on the, you know, go through the journey.
Right. And another story, we were in Portland, Oregon, and we had gone to a grotto that they have there. And we had walked into the chapel there, and they had a Saint Juliana. Juliana was our niece that we lost. And so I saw this, and we had purchased a prayer candle, I think either before or after we saw the Saint Juliana, but we were praying for our family. And then right next to St. Juliana, when I turned to leave the church, was St. Therese. And St. Therese is the patron saint of his sister, the mom of Juliana. So just that was just like a God moment to me to encounter that there in Oregon at that time when we were. And it was also Our Lady of Sorrows.
I was just going to say.
Same time. And Renee, my sister-in-law, had just started a novena to Our Lady of Sorrows at that time. So that was just an amazing, wow, God moment that had come up.
I know. I love moments like that. It's where, you know, God is allowing us to know that I am paying attention to what is happening in your lives. It's almost as if he's reaching down and just holding us and squeezing us. Wow, how beautiful.
I think a beautiful part of the witness, too, is we've visited, you know, just so many parishes, either, you know, especially for Sunday Mass, but also for daily Masses, and meeting so many faithful priests along the way that have offered their blessings, and they recognize, you know, the value of a family going around. And just to have their encouragement has really been just a tremendous blessing, and hopefully we've been a return blessing to them, just as the clergy and married couples and families. I mean, they're mutually supportive, and we've just gained so much from meeting priests and religious along the way. And it's just been a tremendous blessing to be able to return that back to them. And, you know, sharing that time with Father George was certainly not anticipated, but, you know, having, you know, a couple of meetings with him while we were there was just spectacular.
Yeah. Those are some pretty awesome times. And I remember our last trip to California on a couple occasions where the priest actually came in the RV with us that night, and we said our family prayers together with the priest, and, you know, he's helping tuck them in. And it's just, you know, again, those things that you'll just never forget. Just awesome moments.
Yeah. One of the things that you were just saying, as we know in that, you know, the encouragement of one another in our sacraments, it's so important. As you say, you know, there is so much encouragement that needs to take place, one in marriage, we all know that, but so too in the priesthood. And it's so amazing to be able to affirm one another that they know that they go every single day to offer everything they can for the people, the souls. And when they see a family like yours who's willing to not only go on vacation, but to really go on mission for others, that can only help elevate their sacrament and make them realize the importance of what it means to be a family and to be Catholic.
Now, is there any place, and this is for the kids, is there any place that you haven't been to that you'd like to go to next?
I think Morgan's going to entertain this question, despite the surprised look on her face.
When we were in South Dakota, we heard about our cousin Juliana and her passing, and we didn't get to go to North Dakota and visit Teddy Roosevelt National Park. I've really wanted to go there because in a homeschool program back at home, I studied about it and put on a report for it, and so I was really hoping to go there, but it didn't turn out, so I would hope to go back there.
Yeah, that means another trip next year, Dad.
Yeah, we kind of found out early in this trip as we were kind of, you know, rejiggering things about, well, four night stays weren't really long enough in some places, so we've kind of extended that, but we've also recognized that really, this trip's going to be the story of 10,000 places we didn't visit.
Even with
14 months on the road, you just can't get to everything. I mean, our country just has so much to offer and so much to see.
Absolutely. You know, I kind of say that in tongue in cheek, but have you thought about taking another trip? Maybe next year, if not next year, the year after?
It's not really going to be an option because we didn't get to Alaska yet.
Oh, we plan on going there. Michael, what'd you like to say?
William.
Yeah. Oh, William. I'm sorry.
One place that
we didn't get to go was Sequoia National Park, which we had to skip because of the timing. So that was one that we wanted to go to.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, some of you are going to be driving soon, so maybe that'll help a little bit.
I only wish.
Yeah, exactly. I can imagine. Oh, what a beautiful and amazing gift that we've received just by, I know we went, even here, we went to your home. And again, we're at your home and it's just what it is. It's amazing and beautiful. But to see that you do what you do and to have you all here in this studio, what a blessing and a gift from God, truly. You guys have just inspired us to go more often. No? I'm feeling it. I don't know. I can say no. I know.
And we have a trip, of course, coming up in February. And it's one of these years where we said that we were going to minimize our travel. But already, as we start the new year, within the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks, we'll be in California, Grand Cayman, Germany, and Arizona.
So much for not going anywhere.
So you guys just continue to pave the way for us and make it easy for us as we get through.
We'll do whatever we can to make it easy for you to get around.
Be careful. We already have you on the list.
Now, you guys talked about, you know, as taking a trip like this and being so close-knit that it strengthens the family. Do you have anything to say for those who are listening who don't have an opportunity to travel like this, things that they can do that's going to help strengthen their family?
Well, I think there's a lot you can do at home. And I think, you know, adopting the hands and feet tour kind of motif was really an extension or theme, was really an extension of an effort that we had started even when Joseph was little, that just do something that you can close to home to take the focus off yourself. And something that we found that was real easy, or not so much easy, but people really enjoyed it, was when we would visit a nursing home or a hospital. And we started when Joseph was very little, going to the VA hospital when we lived in Charleston, South Carolina. And, you know, once a month, maybe every other month, we would all go down and we got to know some of the residents, and some of them passed in the course of the times that we would go and visit. So there are things that you can do, you know, just even close to home, that, you know, we had started to try and do some of those things. Sometimes the parish, you know, has shut-ins that people can't get out to receive communion. Just stop by and say hello. Mm-hmm. And that's really, you know, not that burdensome to a schedule. If you can just carve out the time and find out who it is, that's really the hard part, is finding out, well, who should I go visit? And that's really kind of our struggle. Sometimes we get to a new place and I start calling around and, you know, there's different rules or requirements, you know, before you can volunteer somewhere or things like that. But you keep calling and keep looking, and God presents and opens those windows of where he'd like you to enter.
Wow, amazing.
And Lori?
I was just going to share about just within your own family, praying together, especially night prayers. We had visited some of our friends on our trip, and so all the kids were staying together with their kids, and so we asked, well, would you mind if we said night prayers together? We have this little ritual that we normally sing, this song that Joe's mom had taught him and his siblings when they were little, and it's a tradition we've carried on through our family. So we started doing these night prayers, and we got to stay like four nights with this family of friends of ours. And by the time we were ready to leave, they had pretty much caught on, and they were praying, you know, meaningful prayers, not just like, oh, thanks for the sunny day today or something. They were, you know, really praying. And then Joe had gotten a text from his friend after we had gone that said, how does that night prayer start again? Aww. So it's just like simple things that maybe you don't do in your own family, like saying night prayers, that you could start. And it's very simple and easy. And that's, I think, one of the things that has bonded our family, is that prayer time together. And that could help bond other families as well.
Awesome, awesome. Well, again, you've been on radio. Everybody has heard your voices. If they want to get an idea of what the Trechter family looks like and maybe keep up with your travels, how can they find that out?
Yeah, we'd love it if people would drop in. We have a blog, and it's at www.handsandfeettour.com. So it's all spelled out, and we have a blog and our mission statement's there. And actually, I just posted a video that Joseph made, because he dutifully videoed us taking down our trailer and getting it ready to go. And so we kind of put that to fast motion. So in a minute or less, you can see what really takes about 25 minutes on the logistics page there. So that's handsandfeettour.com, just all spelled out and concatenated together.
And you'll be on our Facebook page and on our website, everything that we'll also link to that and have the information there as well.
Yeah. So we just want to, again, thank you for blessing us, making San Antonio part of your travels, and giving us this opportunity to see you guys once again, but to also hear from the kids and hear their excitement. So I hope that you will, those of you listening, will go and visit that blog site and just see the beauties of what's on the site. Maybe it'll inspire you to do something with your family, if not a 14-month tour, maybe a weekend trip somewhere down the road, just to get that time away, enjoy it together as family, but as Joe continues to mention, to find those other ways in which we can serve as well. I think there's just a great blessing that God bestows upon us in our lives when we decide to go outside of ourselves to reach out and serve others. So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, too.
Thank you for having us. It's been great.
Thanks, kids, for being in here. We just appreciate you.
Yep, our pleasure. This is fun.
It's been amazing. So if you can't go on the road, you can join us once again on the cruise. So we're going to sail away again with Teresa and Deacon Dom. Go to our website and look at the information there for a Royal Caribbean Brilliance of the Seas. And it'll be a Western Caribbean this time. And then,
November 16th to the 21st.
There you go. There you go. So go to thealexanderhouse.org. And also, those of you who are here in San Antonio, join us for Christopher West event, February 13th from 7 to 9. Fill these hearts, and you can also sign up at our website.
All righty. Well, again, we want to thank you again for joining us here today. We ask that you keep us in your prayers as we travel, but also stay tuned next week again for another episode of Made for Each Other. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to Made for Each Other, proclaiming the beauty, goodness, and truth of marriage. Tune in next Wednesday at 11 a.m. for another segment of Made for Each Other. If you have questions or comments, or would like to find out more information about Covenant of Love for your parish, email the Alexander House at radioshow@alexanderhouse.com or call 877-211-3853. Made for Each Other, a presentation of the Alexander House.
Made for each other, this woman, this man. Made for each other, in the Father's perfect plan. And when two become one, let no one on earth divide.
I just can't do this.
1 Minute Monk, Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed by the things you're supposed to do? St. Benedict has a word for these situations. He tells us in his rule to wait until we can think it over or talk it over calmly and reasonably. Then we should simply trust in God's help and do the best we can in love. Sometimes when we think we cannot do something, we are really afraid of not being able to do it perfectly and thus being embarrassed or disappointing others. All we are responsible for is doing the best we can. We can do no better than that.
For your free copy of The Rule of Saint Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com. oneminutemonk.com.
We simply need to calm down, admit that what we will do will not be perfect, but that the best we can do will probably be more than sufficient.
Men, come be inspired at the 10th Annual Catholic Men's Conference in San Antonio, February 21st at the new Norris Conference Center. Come hear a great lineup of dynamic speakers that include Father Larry Richards, author of Be a Man, Father Nathan Cromley of the Brothers of St. John, and Father Patrick Martin, who has been blind since the age of 9, but calls it a gift. For tickets and for more information, visit cmcsanantonio.com.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail, Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail, Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail, Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may, by his passion and cross, be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to KJMA 89.7 Floresville, San Antonio.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this podcast on the Guadalupe Radio Network website. In order to continue offering this and other services to you, we need your support. Please prayerfully consider being a Guadalupe Radio Network financial supporter by clicking on the Donate Now link on the top left of our website. Thank you for your support of the Guadalupe Radio Network.